Welcome to this first and historic, maybe, episode of the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, where we explore how God is part of life, honest and real. My name is Brian, and I'll be talking to...
What up, y'all? My name is Britt.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about the ACF Youth Culture Podcast. Just what is it?
Let's go.
Yeah, welcome, everybody, all around the world, and I don't know, outside the world, on the moon. I don't know. Who knows where
in
this is going?
In the universe?
Goes. Yeah.
Who Amen. Knows?
So we're talking to Britt, and tell us a little about who... Well, let's back up. Should we do you first, or what ACF Youth Culture Podcast is first? Let's do you.
Let's start with me.
Okay.
So my name is Britt, and I am the high school and young adult pastor at ACF Church in Eagle River, Alaska. And when I first started ministry, I didn't want to be in ministry. I was like, God, call someone else. This ain't for me. And I started subbing and just got like such a heart for students. I walked in and they all looked like adults. They didn't go through like the awkward phase mm-hmm. with like one eyebrow and like weirdness like I did. But I also just saw all these students just looking for life and love and to be known and to be valued and connected in places that just weren't giving that. So my heart just started to get a little burdened, and ended up going to school and getting hired here. And now I'm weird and awkward and love Jesus and students.
And you've been doing youth ministry?
Five years. 5 years.
As have I.
I know.
So we kind of started here together.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about you, Brian.
So my name is Brian. I don't know. What am I? I don't know. I guess what you really need to know is I have a passion for youth ministry.
Yeah.
Much like you, in society, there's so much pressure and anxiety mm-hmm. and depression, and just adolescence is hard.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah.
And I remember adolescence and growing up, and I actually had it pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that's unusual.
Yeah.
And I just want to... It's like a really a God thing. I don't know why God drew me to that age group
mm-hmm.
and continues to draw me to that age group, but I just have a passion for young people. I love that they're really beginning their faith journey, all of them, because of their age, especially in high school, because now they're starting to really think through things, and I love challenging their thinking and guiding their thinking and just being on that early stages of seriously thinking on a deeper level what it means to be a believer.
How long have you been in youth ministry? Because it exceeds my time.
You're
like a veteran.
Longer than you've been alive. We'll just go with that. For the record, I've never been a professional youth minister. It's always been avocational.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always, you know, I've gone through a couple years where I didn't and several where I did. So it's been off and on because mm-hmm. I've been involved in music too. But either way, I've always had the passion for youth ministry ever since I graduated college, actually, and that's probably where it started, actually. Short story, I was in Indiana, and our ministry was very urban-based,
mm-hmm.
and I did middle school guys, and when I graduated college, I'm like, I need to be with these guys. None mm-hmm. of them had fathers.
Yeah.
They were all, you know, impoverished, you know, moved every year,
mm-hmm.
you know, terrible neighborhoods they lived in, and it's like... I think that's where it all started. God just put those guys on my heart. Virgil, Darius, Daryl.
Shout out to Virgil and Darius.
that's where I think it started.
That's
it never went away. Mm-hmm. And most people mature from youth ministry and go into more. Not me.
Yeah.
I still love to go hang out with the middle school and play Foursquare.
I love it.
So that sort of thing. So we've mentioned our church, which mm-hmm. is ACF. What does ACF stand for? Is that the same as the fried chicken place?
It's not KFC. it's higher quality. It stands for Alliance Christian Fellowship. And it's just this movement of churches that are on mission and a part of the Christian Missionary Alliance to see Jesus be known and lived out and experienced. And youth culture specifically, which is what I oversee, is this beautiful spectrum of students living out Christ in their culture. And something that's really important to me is like, Jesus is the author and creator of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he throws the best parties.
He was a partier.
Yeah, he got down. He liked to dance. I liked to dance. But, yeah, it's about a generation that looks different than the generation around them and compels their peers to, that there's something better for you,
right,
that there's life. And so, yeah.
So that's ACF youth culture. Why a podcast?
Man, so you were the one that wanted to start this.
I did. Was my initial thought.
Yeah. Man, you had such a passion because we have something called Student Life at our gathering. And it's honestly, I feel like the most powerful part of the...
I agree. Of the night.
Of the night, where students get up and share their stories. And I've like cried, I've been challenged, I've laughed. But hearing about people's different experiences with Christ encourages my faith, it challenges what I see. And it's also like, man, I'm not alone in the struggle. Mm-hmm. And so...
And what I love too is like, you can always, you can hear a pin drop whenever they're speaking. It's just because the other students listening, there's usually what, 30 to 60, something like that, listening to these. And it's a big step for these students to get on stage, live, in front of their peers, and share something about what God's doing in their lives. And the students listening are so attuned, as are we adults. And there's just some power to the story that they share. And so, yeah, my thought was like, why keep this in our building? Why do we only get this? Well, let's record these and put them out there and see where God takes it. But our tagline is the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, and then it's honest, real life. Can you kind of break down those words? Because some of those are kind of, I don't know, trendy, but how would you break those down?
I would start with just honesty. What not only this generation wants, but I think what everybody wants is authenticity, is a sense of genuineness. And walking with Jesus isn't always easy. It's hard, and there's a lot of things that you experience. You have the mountaintops, but you also have the valleys. And so just being honest with where you're at. Like, we've had students before share, like, I have felt so distant from God. Like, he's been like a parent in another room that just never comes through the door. Like, I can relate to that in my 30s of just like, man, I've been there. So honesty is about not trying to like sound super Christian.
Yeah, that's one of our kind of catchphrases, no churchy answers.
Yeah.
Like, it's really easy to say Jesus is the answer to everything. Give your heart to him and your life will be good the rest of your life. It's a lot more nuanced than that, which I think gets to real.
Yeah. Real is, man, there's enough like fake stuff out there on social media or even just like editing pictures of just like, how do I want to be perceived? We want real. We want people to be where they're at and not have to like magnify or put on just like a filter of just like, yeah, everything's good, when reality it's like you just cried in your car and struggled to just walk through the door,
or you had a great experience because something happened in your life. And then life is just, I'll answer that one, like life is big and complex. It's not just in a church building, it's not just your, when you spend time in God, it's all encompassing. And so how do we bring God in an honest and real way into all different aspects of life? And that's what we do in student life. And again, the impact on those who hear these stories and those students and us that hear these stories, it's just a testament to what God does as part of people's lives.
Do you have one that stands out to you, like a student life kind of like tidbit or moment that was just like, oh man, that was...
Yeah, I think the one that jumped into mind was Kale talked about struggling with scripture and what it meant. And so many times, you know, read the Bible and kind of learn what God has to say and then respond to that. Well, sometimes that's not easy. And it's easy for people to think the church is just a place to go for the answers because Jesus is the answer. But sometimes those answers are very nuanced and they have to be thought through. And in his case, it was predestination and free will, which only been discussed for 500 years, yeah, you know, talking through that one. But to me, that was a really good example of just kind of a real struggle, if mm-hmm. you will. So that's one that just jumped in my mind first. What about you?
Yeah, I have a couple. We had a student that was praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit and was just like, why does God, he feels distant. He's a parent across the hallway and I want him to come in the room. And he had been praying that for months. And then he just got like overwhelmed one night with just like the presence of God. And he was like, I felt so loved. And like he's sharing this in front of his peers. Like I started crying. Like there was no fear, just like perfect peace. And his faith was just like, man, when's the last time I prayed to be filled or experience God in a new way? Like right. I need to keep doing that. And then another one that comes to mind is a student
These are spoiler alerts, but go ahead.
Oh, snap.
Go ahead, go.
I don't think you've recorded this student
yet. Okay.
It was a student who struggles with mental health, and they had been admitted into a facility to get help, and just even saying, like, I've been in dark places, and I want to let you guys in because there's power when light shines in the dark. Man, this just encouraged me, the boldness to say, like, you're not alone.
Right.
And also, like, you don't have to have it all together to be here. And, yeah, I was just really, really moved by their story.
Yeah, I mean, those are just three of the examples of honest, mm-hmm. real, and life.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed, too, when we did the student life where people actually share their stories, it's just the power of story mm-hmm. in general. Can you address that, just power of story, either biblically or just what you see in people's lives, the power behind story?
Yeah, well, we see just Jesus telling story after story after story. And so many times he's sharing these stories because he wants people to see that the story we believe is the story we live out. So if I believe that I'm an outcast, I believe that I'm broken, I believe that I'm always going to be defined by X, Y, or Z, you're going to live out that story. And Jesus is like, I'm rewriting the story. And man, one of the ones that just come to mind is when he shares the story of the prodigal son. And he's describing this guy who lives foolishly and recklessly. And he just leaves his father. He's like, hey, give me all my inheritance. Could you imagine like going up to your dad and being like, dad, give me my money.
Show me the money.
And then just like peacing out and being like, okay, I'm done with you. I'm done with the family. You'll probably never see me again. Squanders it, lives recklessly to the point where he's like homeless, abandoned, longing to just have a decent meal. And he's like, I'll just go back to my dad's house. But like his head's down, he's like working through an apology. So when he sees his dad, he's going to be like, you know, dad, I've disgraced you. I'm sorry. And I just picture him like walking and Jesus is sharing this story. And so many of us can relate to this when we mess up and we've let someone down or disappointed someone or have this perception that God has of us. And Jesus is sharing this story. And it says that the father immediately runs to meet him and calls out like, get a robe, get a fattened calf. Mm-hmm. Like the lost son has now been found. And just like that story is just like so inspiring. And the people were hearing this story and being like, I'm the son. I'm the daughter that was wayward.
Right.
And so there's something so powerful. And even when you look at the Gospels, all four of those books are the story and the truth of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus lived out a story because we're all living out a story in one way or another.
And I agree, obviously, mm-hmm. with the power of story biblically. I'm also a big movie fan.
Yes.
I've done the math, which is so like me to do, yeah. right? I have probably seen 2,000 movies in my life.
Wow.
And
what's your favorite?
Casablanca.
Well, who is she?
We'll have another podcast okay. of movies you Brian says you should see. 1942, Humphrey Bogart. Yeah. AFI's had, which is American Film Institute, had uh-huh. a quote of the 100 best movie quotes of all time,
yeah.
which include Luke, I am your father.
Yes.
People might know that one. But three of the top 20 are from Casablanca.
Oh.
It's got some great lines.
Okay.
And Humphrey Bogart's just cool.
Okay.
He wears the fedora. He oozes cool.
Can we bring back the fedora?
Oh, I have one. So.
Oh, I want to see it. Bring it back.
I love movies. And so as I think, well, why do we like movies like that? Because, or literature. Literature would be the same thing. I'm not a huge fan of books, but Lord of the Rings is probably my, I got hooked on that in high school. And there's been a few others.
I read a murder mystery book, and the killer was the girl in the coma. And I was like, what? Did not see that coming. I'm a big book nerd. And
right. So there's something. Yeah. And for those who, I'll just tell a little bit more about myself.
Yeah.
I would say I'm a pseudo intellectual, meaning I don't think I'm really that smart a person. But I like to swim in those waters with a lot of smart people.
He's smart.
No, I'm not smart.
Don't let him fool you.
And so I'm really passionate about the intersectionality. Is that the right word? Actually, I can't even say the word. It tells you how intellectual I am. Between faith and culture and how philosophy has changed or how we live and all that sort of. So I love that part of life. But on the other side, I love movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... those are different types of powers.
Yeah.
And the power in a movie, when you watch, and when, I mean, there's some movies I call popcorn movies or cotton candy movies. They're just fun.
Yeah.
One of my favorites, 1970s, Airplane. It's the only movie I ever came out where my stomach was sore from laughing.
Oh,
it had no message. It was just funny.
Yeah.
But most movies, there's something they're trying to tell. There is a story about human life, what it's like to be a human, what it's like to live life. And that's just why we're really engaged when a movie or TV or book really moves us is because it's telling us something about ourselves.
Yeah.
And hopefully with this podcast and the stories that we've heard from our students so far and that we'll record going forward is that same power. There's just a power in a story that's different than, say, analyzing scripture or learning theology or things. It's a different ways that God reveals himself to us.
Yeah, and there's something really powerful that happens too if we don't share our stories. That means a certain aspect of God is not being expressed, shared, encouraged, inspired, because humanity is so diverse and such a spectrum of people, and like we miss out when people don't share their stories. One of my favorite things to do is when I sit down with someone, it's just like, what's your story? Mm-hmm. They're like, it began on a cold day on October 29th. It's a Tuesday. But man, you learn about the adversity, the celebrations. You get a sense of what they've been through and who they are.
And it really tells about a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. In fact, when you mentioned that, I was thinking of my dad, who he's in his 90s now, and I'm like, My grandfather wrote like a 40-page autobiography.
Cool.
Which is really cool. But, you know, he immigrated to the U.S. He rode the rails out looking for work. And, you know, it's a really cool story. And I'm like, Dad, you need to write your autobiography. He's like, well, I got nothing to say. Like, I just had an ordinary life. And I remember little stories, like, grew up in Elgin, Illinois, where for fun, they would, back in the metal roller skate days, go down this big hill and then jump over the railroad tracks and try to land it.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, you know, people would have knee pads and helmets. like
not back then.
It's just a little, like, to him, that's nothing. That's just his life. But to me, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
And so we just learned so much about people. And, just to get them, I wouldn't say get them.
Yeah.
For all of us to realize the power of our own stories.
Yeah. And to share that.
Shared. Right.
Like, when's the last time you shared your story or asked someone to share theirs? It's so important that we hear other people's experiences and just the wisdom and insight that we gain from that. I just learned the craziest story about my family. Can I share it? So my grandpa, my great-grandpa, writer, phenomenal, wonderful man. He passed away when I was 16, but he stepped on a mine in World War II. But in addition to that, I knew that because he had a prosthetic leg and he would hide cards in there when we were younger. Like the ace would be like in his prosthetic leg. It'd be a grandpa. Like, what are you doing? He's like, how did that get there? But I just learned because my mom was going through articles, and he was captured by the Nazi regime and taken as a prisoner of war. And he was part of an exchange that took place for German soldiers for his life. And I was, and my grandpa was 19 at this time, wow. Like has a leg blown off,
right?
Is a prisoner of war, 19 years old. And I was just like in awe of, and also like, I want to know more, mm-hmm. like take me on that journey. And so like, Mom, send me all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, actually there are two examples, which yeah. we didn't plan yeah. for the record here. A really good example. Like yours is a really dramatic life changing yeah. thing. And there's a power behind that. Mine's just an everyday life thing.
Yeah.
And there's a power, like, what Amen. Was like life back in the 1940s? Mm-hmm. I guess that would have been with my dad. And so, yeah, they both have equal power. So having said that, we've spent a few minutes now on the power story. The power of story, this podcast, where do we see this going? We're putting this out there. What's,
yeah.
any thoughts?
Man, I really hope kind of a couple things. First, I hope it inspires people to share their story.
Yeah.
And to also know that they're not alone, but also to see that there is a God who wants not just to be part of your story, but who is orchestrating so many places in your story and people and just drawing you near. I think with story, especially in today's time, it can be really easy to just be like, yeah, that's for someone else, or I don't have a story, or, you know, nothing right. matters or anything like that. And if it's like nothing matters, that's a really sad story to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And also that's a book that has an ending that just is meaningless.
Right.
And we have a God who has purpose, who has love, and who wants to bring life into your story. And every time our students share, I see life entering in them and through them, and it's just awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if I would add anything to that other than I think as you were speaking, it came to mind like it's kind of an act of worship.
Yeah.
Sharing your story or listening to a story, because both those, as the speaker or the listener, points you towards God.
Yeah.
Because as our tagline goes, we explore how God is part of life,
mm-hmm.
honest and real.
Yeah.
So whenever you bring God, if God is part of it, as you're speaking it or as you're yeah. listening to it, it points you to him, which is the end of kind of what we want to do.
And when you were talking, the scripture that came to mind in Revelation was, we will overcome by two things, the blood of the Lamb, which is the sacrificial life of Jesus on the cross, conquering sin and death and rising to life, and we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And the second one is the word of our testimony. So it's a partnership of God's blood and grace and goodness, and then us sharing that in our lives. And that's how we overcome. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And the cool thing with the podcast, it's just another way to do that. Like 20 years ago,
yeah.
You could do it in person, you could do it maybe on stage, but podcasting yeah. is, I forget, I actually looked it up one time, what year that first appeared in the dictionary, like 2008 or six.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole new technical thing that enables so many more people to yeah. share and to receive, pointing to that.
Can we squirrel for a moment?
We can always squirrel. It's a podcast. We can do what we want. Amen. We're in charge.
Oh, let's go. What do you think prevents people from sharing their story, or the barriers of just talking about it?
I think the main one is like my dad's, like, my story's not worth telling.
Mm.
It's just, I think there's so many stories out there that are amplified, or usually the big news, the mm-hmm. over the top, like your grandpa's story.
Yeah.
So you hear the great stories and you think just the God being part of your life and everyday stuff don't matter compared to that.
Yeah.
And that's why I think most people like don't want to do it, is because the other thing I think is just the internet can be kind of scary
yeah.
and getting your voice out on the internet or your mm-hmm. story, you're putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And anytime as a believer or just a person, mm-hmm. You put yourself out there, there's some fear in that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think definitely people diminish their story because they don't have something crazy or mm-hmm. just like the big, moment or experience. I think another thing too could be shame of just like, man, I got some stuff in my story that I'm not proud of, which I think we all do when I look back at my life.
But to put that out on the internet.
Yeah.
Whoa. Because obviously Instagram, Facebook for boomers, that's all about showing your best part.
Yeah.
And very rarely will people, and when they do, it's almost newsworthy because it's so rare when people put out, it's usually not even shame. It's usually just bad or funny things that happen to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so real.
That's that honest, real life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we want to be part of.
And then, so what can our future listeners expect? We'll have a lot of our conversations with students. We'll also be doing with some adults because adults have stories too.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably do some fun ones.
Yeah.
Because Jesus liked to party.
Liked
and he is the author of fun. I always say we're created in God's image. We're the only animal that laughs. There's something
to
it. I thought that one up myself.
Oh, I love it.
I probably stole it from somebody and didn't realize it.
He's really smart, y'all.
There'll be other people also hosting the podcast. It won't be me because people get bored of hearing my voice. So we'll have Autumn, who you guys will meet later. Brett will probably do some as well. Yeah. And we'll have some fun ones too. So there'll be a lot. Come in forth. We plan to release every 2 weeks.
Cool.
If I'm on top of things, that'll happen. hopefully. And hopefully, I mean, I'm going to have us close in prayer before we our time's up, because I think we need to offer this podcast as an offering to him.
Amen.
And once we give it to him, I don't know what we'll do. Yeah, something else.
And my like pastoral heart and all of this is that like this podcast draws you closer to Jesus.
At the end,
And that you realize that, man, he is the best author, and that you would not only get encouraged in Christ, but you get bold to share about the things going on in your life and in the lives of people around you. And so this podcast is meant to inspire, encourage, and also like call you out a little bit and be like, man, do something. We had a student that just did a podcast with Brian, and they were nervous and they were scared, but Jesus is worth sharing. And so, yes, pastoral encouragement.
Yeah, so pray us out as we offer prayer dedication for this.
Yes. Oh, God, we just... we thank you so much for you. God, we thank you that, Lord, you know every single person in the world. You knit them together. God, and I just pray that as people listen to this, that your love and your truth and your Holy Spirit just draws them closer, that there's more to experience in you, and God, that we would be a people that are bold in sharing our stories. We'd be a people that are great listeners at hearing other people's life, and God, that this would just be an offering to you, because God, you wrote the story of redemption, of life, of truth, and of ultimate hope in Jesus. And so God, we lift this up to you. Be with our listeners. God, let them be known and valued and connected and chuckle and all the things that you want to do through this. We love you, Jesus, and we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Funny thing before we end up, this is honest, real life. I was holding in a burp the whole time we were praying. Like, no, don't burp, don't burp. Like, as, hey, this is burp. I should just let it rip, but it kind of went away now they started talking about it.
As the students say, do be like that sometimes.
Do be like that. Yeah, do they say that? All right. Well, it looks like our time is up here, and we hope you found this conversation helpful and the first of many that we'll be doing. And you can subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And for the first time, thanks for listening to the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, Honest, Real Life. This is Brian.
And this is Britt.
Till next time.
Till next time.